So I remember that I got myself in trouble the last time I talked about this text in worship. Let me explain. See, at this time of year, there's a certain song you sometimes hear on the radio. It's called "Mary, Did You Know?" written by Mark Lowry and Buddy Green. And in this song, there's a singer that asks that question over and over, about 17 times by one critic's count. And in that song, Mary doesn't have a voice. She's silent as the singer questions whether she knows that her son Jesus will perform miracles, whether she knows that Jesus will save and rule the world, and whether she knows that Jesus is God's son, and that when she kisses her baby, it's actually God's face that she's touching. So I said some harsh things about this song as a way of introducing the gospel lesson, which is all about the things that Mary did know. And then a couple of you guys, who I'm not going to put on the spot, but who are just awesome, talented musicians and really kind and wonderful people, and so strong in your faith, you guys came up to me and said, "We agree with everything you're saying, but here's the thing. We've been rehearsing this song to sing it tomorrow on Christmas Eve." So I've learned my lesson. I'm not going to trash the song this year. I've made my peace with it because I don't think it's about Mary at all. I think it's about the songwriter's own sense of awe about the Son of God coming to live with us in the form of a little baby. Now, it's unfortunate that they bring Mary into it in the way that they do. I can picture her standing patiently there as they ask their questions and nodding and saying, "Yes, yes, I did know. I did know that this child was special, that God was up to something astounding and wonderful, and that I was so utterly blessed to be a part of it." Mary did know. But there's room. There's room for our astonishment, our confusion, and our questions to be taken up into her praise of God and her celebration of what God was doing in her and through her. We should listen to her words, though, because Mary is also the first Christian. She's the first human being to believe in Jesus. And what she says and does gives us a model for giving birth to God in our own lives. So let's back up and remember how her story begins. The story that we saw played out in our anthem this morning. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and made an extraordinary announcement that she would give birth to the Son of God. And this angel didn't just come and drop that announcement and leave. The angel lingered and answered Mary's questions, one question at least, without holding it against her, without judging her, waiting for Mary to search her own feelings until she could say, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." You see, God didn't demand Mary's participation. God didn't forcefully commandeer Mary's body, but instead, God extended an invitation, awaiting Mary's free and unreserved yes. If God chose to be so gentle, so patient about something this important, how could we ever imagine God would toss aside our own doubts and questions? So don't ever suppose that there isn't room in your prayers for joining with Mary and asking, "How can this be?" Love is patient. Love is kind, we read elsewhere in Scripture. Love does not insist on its own way. God comes to us in love, seeking our trust and our love, not blind, unquestioning obedience. And so wherever you are in your relationship with God today, Mary's story is preserved to reassure you that your uncertainty can only call forth God's grace and tenderness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. It can only strengthen your relationship with God. And understand that this is true of your relationships with others as well. If there's no room for you to hold back and question, if there's no room to guard your own integrity and sense of who you are and what's important to you, then this is a failure of love. Love allows for questions. Love waits for a free and unforced yes. Love does not insist on its own way. Today we follow Mary as she pays a visit to her relative Elizabeth. Gabriel had told Mary that the elderly Elizabeth was expecting a child as an example of God's wonder-working power. Nothing, Gabriel said, nothing will be impossible with God. And as they meet, the Holy Spirit fills both women, as well as little John the Baptist, is still inside his mother. And each of them, in their own way, testify to the wonder and power of what's happening. John by leaping and kicking, Elizabeth by pronouncing God's blessing on Mary. And not only is she blessed because of what God is doing, Elizabeth says, but Mary is blessed because of her own faith. Because, as Elizabeth says, she believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord. What's praiseworthy in Mary, what heaps blessing upon blessing for her, is not simply that God is acting through her, but that she accepts and trusts and celebrates God's activity. And boy, does she celebrate it. The words that Mary speaks come down to us as the Magnificat. That name comes from the first word of the Latin translation. They follow the pattern of the Psalms from the Hebrew Bible. They start out with these ringing words of praise, and then they explain what God's done to deserve that praise. So Mary begins with her own experience. She's a simple, poor Galilean peasant whom God took notice of and invited to become part of what God is doing, invited to bring God's Son into the world. In spite of being poor and unimportant in the eyes of the world, Mary knows that she'll be honored among future generations because of her part in God's story. She's been lifted up from her humble position to participate in God transforming and saving the world. And this upward movement drives her to praise and gratitude. But she doesn't stop there. She recognizes that what God has done for her personally is a reflection of who God is, a pattern repeated over and over again in God's dealings with people. God scatters the proud, she says, and topples powerful rulers. God lifts up the poor and lowly. God reverses the systems of privilege in the world, giving food to the hungry and depriving the rich of the excess they had regarded as their birthright. And God confirms who God is through these actions over generations, making and keeping promises. Mary was astonished. Mary was awestruck at the role God had offered her. But don't try to tell me that Mary didn't know what was up. Mary knew. And her testimony is meant for us. Mary doesn't need to be instructed by us. We need to learn from her. Now, Mary gave birth to Jesus, and none of us is going to do that. But here's the new amazing thing God was doing in her. God was taking a human shape in our world. God in Jesus was coming to live with us and be one with us in our joy and our sadness. God in Jesus was taking on human flesh. Human flesh that could touch us, feed us, heal us, bring comfort and acceptance and love that we could feel in our own bodies. God in Jesus was entering into the worst things that we experience. Hunger, doubt, loneliness, rejection, injustice, and even death. And Jesus, who came to love, feed, heal, and generously give his life for others when he rose from the dead and ascended into heaven, left us to be his flesh, his body. So Mary may have been the first God-bearer, but everyone who believes is also a God-bearer now. Mary knew. She knew what was happening in her, but do we? Do you understand that your hands are God's hands? That your voice is God's voice? Mary sings about justice for the poor and the overthrowing of nations, not through violence, but through the birth of her child. Do you know what power God wields in you when you do a kindness, when you share your food with the hungry? Like those of us who have been sharing our food with the Center for Food Action. Do you know the power God wields in you when you help a parent in prison give their child a Christmas gift, as so many of you did through the Angel Tree Project? Do you hear Mary when she sings about what God can do with someone overlooked and insignificant like her? Did you know that God's Son is longing, waiting, hoping to be born in you even today? There's a lot of bad news this week, but there was some good news as well. Amid all the rising anxiety about the Omicron variant and the aftermath of the tornadoes in the South and Midwest, 2 months after being taken hostage in Haiti, a group of Amish and Mennonite and Anabaptist mission workers and their families were freed. This group had been helping to rebuild earthquake-damaged homes and organize infrastructure projects in a poor country devastated again and again by natural disasters. But what really struck me was the statement that the group addressed to their kidnappers. Here's what they said. "We do not know all the challenges you face. We do believe that violence and oppression of others can never be justified. You caused our hostages and their families a lot of suffering. However, Jesus taught us by word and by his own example that the power of forgiving love is stronger than the hate of violent force. Therefore, we extend forgiveness to you." Apparently, this is not the first time the kidnappers heard these words. They heard them as well from the people that they were holding hostage throughout their captivity. I've seen this powerful testimony offered by other people from this faith tradition in other circumstances as well, and it never fails to completely bowl me over. They profess this amazing belief in the power of God's forgiveness to transform lives, in fact, to prevent harm. Oftentimes, when they forgive somebody who's harmed them, they'll say, just think of what could have happened if this person knew he was forgiven before this happened to us. Just think what harm we might prevent in the future if we can get through to him, how much God loves him. They believe that this power can transform lives and in the end remake the whole world. They believe that God can work these miracles through them, not when life is easy, but when they've been mistreated and frightened, when they're grieving. Can you imagine what could happen if all of us who follow Jesus lived and acted with the knowledge that God's presence on earth really can be born in us? That welcoming the stranger, loving and forgiving enemies, and generously sharing ourselves and our worldly goods with those in need carries the world-transforming power of God. That though we may think ourselves ordinary and insignificant, God's love moving through us and in us has the power to topple kingdoms, lift up the lowly and forgotten, and satisfy the world's hungers. Do you know? Do you trust that God can work these wonders through an ordinary person like you, acting with extraordinary love? If we understood this, if we really took it in, then maybe we wouldn't feel the need to lecture Mary. Maybe instead we could join our voice with hers and sing, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Amen.